everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way Ministries and our message this evening. For any future listeners who have opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting. So there will be people dialing in from around the country, and we'll begin the message in about 3 to 5 minutes to give them a chance to get here. So if you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter an access code, which is 373-363-POUND. It spells free me on your telephone keypad, and that's what we're all about. You can also go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and ways to support our ministry. Thank you for joining us tonight. Give us just a couple minutes before we get into the message. We'd also like to tell you that we have a morning call as well with prayer and Bible reading. That is 7:15 Eastern Time every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. So those of you who have dialed in, pardon me, if you'd like to say hello, tell us who you are, now would be a good chance to do that.
Hello. This is Helen. Hi. I was getting so late so many of the times lately, I thought I'd better get in early. Anyway, it's good to be here.
It is good to have you here. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Anybody else want to say hello?
Hi, Ms. Vicki. I made it in too. How are you tonight?
Woo-hoo. We are doing well, Mitch. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you all for being there for us, too. I'm heading to West Palm Beach tonight.
Woo-hoo. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right. Going down south. Yeah. It's getting warmer as I go down. But okay,
that's
guys. Thank
good.
You all for being there. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank
you. I put 620 miles on the truck last night. They had me all over the place. Okay, guys. So, thank you.
Matt, and that's in it.
Good
evening.
Good
evening. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow. So, I can send them to you for playback.
Oh, okay. You're great. Yeah,
and you said you need 5, 6, and 7. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
5, 6, 7. Last 3 of them.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-mm-mm. Anybody else want to say hello? We're going to hold off a couple minutes before we get into this final session of our teaching on the anointing of God. I have really enjoyed this so much, and I have noticed an increase in the anointing, not just in myself, but in others. It's really amazing. God is so faithful. We serve a faithful God.
Amen.
Any other friendly hellos? All right. Well, those who do not want to speak, you are certainly welcome to remain silent.
Hey, it's Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anybody else before I mute your phones? Okay. I am going to mute your telephones, and we will get started tonight. Thanks you so much for being here. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you move in power in this word, that you increase your anointing, that you shut down all religious spirits and any hindering thing that would seek to prevent what you want us to hear. Open our ears, open our hearts. Position each and every person to receive. And those, Lord, who have not yet dialed in, I ask that you give them a gentle nudge. This is Friday night, date night with the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We are Freedom's Way Ministries. I'm Vicki Burdett. I lead this flock with my husband, Phil Burdett. And our mission is to help God's people come out of the identity crisis that the church is so rampant in the church today and come into their true identity and the freedom that Jesus died to give us. We are deliverance ministers. What we deliver is the truth. Hopefully, we do that in such a way that it makes you free. And if that includes casting out a demon along the way, we do that too. So, welcome to the message this evening, which is our final session, part 7, in understanding and moving in the anointing of God. Welcome.
Hallelujah. And I say welcome as well. And we are teaching, as Vicki said, the understanding and moving in the anointing of God, part 7, which is the final session. And yet it may be that we've only scratched the surface. There's a depth we haven't touched when it comes to God's anointing and the ways the anointing is released. It is unsearchable, virtually. It is unlimited. There have been some really powerful revelations and healings, impartations of joy, and prophetic words in many people's lives, and I believe it's all part of our growth. Inability to release the anointing put inside each one of us. And I want to repeat this point. The anointing is either actively waiting or actively doing. Actively waiting or actively doing. It's in a state of action or in a state of anticipation. And it's there 24 hours a day.
Amen.
And we all have it. So look again at these scriptures from last week. 1 John 2:20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him.
Amen. The anointing becomes fully activated by the Word of God to perform the Word of God. I will say that again. The anointing becomes fully activated by the Word of God to perform the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God go hand in hand to accomplish the will of God. You have to have both, the Word and the Spirit. So a major point to be remembered here is the anointing inside you is not waiting for God. It's waiting for you. We're the ones who activate God's anointing, who move it from its state of anticipation into its state of action. In order to do that, we have to be fully persuaded that God's word is true, that we do have an anointing. He said it, and that settles it. We must believe it. There is a heart belief involved in our ability to release God's anointing.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if this is a good place or not, but Benny Hinn said, if you have the word without the spirit, you dry up. And if you have the spirit without the word, you blow up. Just something to think about. Yeah. It always stuck with me. And the verses we just read in the book of 1 John are in the same letter where he tells us when we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and restore us to righteousness. We all believe that, or at least we say we do. But whenever we mess up, the enemy wants to instill doubt in us about the anointing. He might say, you see, you're a sinner. You can't have an anointing because see what you just did? That's a lie. You can't use God's anointing because you're a sinner. You're not anointed. That's a lie. The enemy works to make us feel unworthy to speak God's word, to minister, and to love on people. Sometimes we look at it from our perspective and we buy into that lie. So let's decide right now to get out of that self-focus of guilt and false identity and begin to activate the anointing from within us. Now, we're not talking about a person here who just doesn't care and is going to do things his way. Regardless, we're talking about a person who has a repentant heart and truly wants to do the things that agree with God and not the world. And again, it is a matter of the heart.
Amen. Amen.
God looks on the heart. If we want to learn how to activate and release the anointing of God, we first have to believe we have it, and then we need to stop listening to the voice of doubt and the lies of hell about who we are. Go over with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 19 to 23. And what is the exceeding greatness? We're meant to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all.
Amen.
I don't even know.
we would know and have experiential knowledge of the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. There's that belief part, according to the working of his mighty power. A better translation than his power to us is his power in us and for us. In us and for us. And I'll say it again. The exceeding greatness of his power is his anointing. It is in us and for us. His anointing is in us and for us.
Yeah.
Are you getting it yet? It's the same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead. He worked it in Jesus. Think about it. Here's his body laying in the tomb, and the Holy Ghost anointing of God takes Jesus and puts him back into his body, heals him completely from the wounds of crucifixion, and raises him from the dead. The anointing was activated. Jesus is now seated in heavenly places on the right hand of God Almighty, in the seat of authority, far above all powers and principalities and every name that is named in this world and in the world to come. And the Father put all things under his feet and made Jesus the head over the church. Here it comes. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fits all in all. Now, if all things have been put under the feet of Jesus, and he is the head of the church, and the church, that's us, makes up the body, where are the feet? Well, the feet are at the bottom of the body and not the top. The feet are not in the head, and if you had feet growing out of your head, you'd be a little funny looking. As the body of Christ, the body of his anointing, we have the feet. He's given us power to stomp on serpents and scorpions because we have the feet.
Amen. Amen. Why did he say we could stomp on them, tread on them, if we didn't have the feet? Luke 10:19 is that scripture. What were you going to say?
Said he's under the feet.
He is under the feet. Behold, I give unto you, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Again, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And notice, this took place before Jesus went to the cross for the final defeat of Satan, putting the devil and his demons to an open shame. This is a significant point in understanding our complete authority and dominion. When God created man, he gave him dominion or rulership in the earth, which is the fleshly temporal realm. He gave dominion to mankind, not to Christians. Think about it. This happened before Christ came on the scene. Jesus came to earth to operate as a man, 100% man, with the 100% anointing of God, which is the thing that gave him great authority. He gave him the absolute power of heaven. And then when Jesus went to the cross, defeated Satan and his demons, was revived by the Holy Spirit, ascended into heaven to receive his kingdom and return to earth, he spoke again to his disciples. Tell us what he said.
He said in Matthew 28:18,
and beyond.
Yeah, yes, and beyond.
I think so.
18-20. Thank you. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So let's think about this. The first time Jesus imparted power, it was to demonstrate the authority of anointing in the earth. The second time he said, now you go, and imparted permission to use his anointing. Let's get this, people. It also included the spirit realm, all power. Mankind already had power in the earth. Now the power was permanently extended over all things, as we read in Ephesians.
Amen. Amen. As the head of the church, Jesus fills all in all. He fills all, everyone, with the anointing. Now, how full is full? I would like to tell you, in case you don't know, full is what they call an absolute. If you are full, you're not partially full. When you eat, if you can eat some more, you're not full. If you're pouring liquid into a glass, if you can get even one more drop into that glass, it's not full. Full is full. You will know full when it spills over. That's full. We do not have 1% or 10% or even 99% anointing. It is 100%. Thank you, Lord. Full. He fills all. So if every one of us is filled with anointing, a lot of us are probably quenching the Holy Spirit because we are not spilling over. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do the wrong thing. We quench the Holy Spirit when we don't do the right thing. This is so significant, I'm going to say it again. You know, the Word says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And it also says don't quench the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we do the wrong thing. But we quench the Holy Spirit when we don't do the right thing. We don't give Him a chance to work, a chance to demonstrate His power, to reveal the living God we say we serve. When we don't tap into the anointing inside us and move it from its position of anticipation into its position of action, we actually limit God.
That's true. Imagine the power that would be released into the spirit realm if everyone listening to this message released the anointing of God for the same purpose at the same time. Wow. This is where the corporate anointing comes in. When the body of Christ unites in agreement with God in His plan and purposes, we come together to accomplish something that is greater than ourselves. We become something that is greater than each of us individually.
That's right. What actually happens is we reveal Christ. We become and are the living parousia. We are the coming, the appearing, the manifestation of Christ on the earth. That is the power of the corporate anointing.
All I'm going to read two scriptures on this, Leviticus 26 and 8, both from the Old Testament. Leviticus 26, 8 says, "And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." Deuteronomy 32 and 30. "How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up?"
Thank you, Lord.
The power of the corporate anointing is exponential. If one person releasing the anointing of God chases 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, that's exponential increase. I'm not very good at math, but I know a good deal when I see one. And a corporate anointing is a good deal. No wonder the enemy works so hard to keep us at odds with each other by focusing us on our way and not God's way. When two people who release anointing, or 100 people who release anointing, can render 10,000 of the enemy ineffective, it's obvious that by getting together, we can get it done.
That's right.
Oh, folks, we have to stop picking at each other and arguing about every point of doctrine and just simply move in what God has called us to do. We need to learn how to come alongside others in the body of Christ and ask, what has God called you to do? How can I help you accomplish that? So that we can have that corporate anointing flowing. So far, we've all been way too self-focused for that to happen, at least not in great measure. We see it sometimes at healing crusades, in worship services, in conferences, occasionally in church. You know, I will always remember the time, this has been many years back, when a lot of people in our church decided to go to a meeting of one of the big name healing preachers that was coming to town. And it was really, I was there, it was a wonderful time in the Lord. Many, many people were touched by God. But at church the following Sunday, two ladies were sitting behind me and they were talking about it before the service started. One of them said, "Yeah, it was okay, but I didn't really get much out of it." The other one replied, "I know what you mean. We have healing and miracles happen here, and our worship is just as good as what they had." Now, I heard one of the deacons say, "Did it ever occur to you that maybe you weren't there for what you could get out of it? Then maybe you were supposed to do something other than think about yourself. Did you ever consider joining your anointing to the corporate anointing, and maybe more people could have gotten out of their wheelchairs?" I know that he was speaking by the Spirit of God, because this was not a man to bring a word like that, hard word, just out of the blue. But it needed to be said, and he said it. Ephesians 3:7 says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And Paul is speaking, and what he says here is, "I'm a minister." Well, guess what? So am I. And so are you. Every one of us is a minister. We are servants unto God, ambassadors in his kingdom and of his kingdom. We are carriers of his glory. We are anointed with his power, which works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. There is an effective power working on the inside of every one of us. And yes, that includes you. It isn't motionless. It's hovering. Consider how bad you feel when you do something you know you shouldn't. Have you ever thought about that? Even while you're doing it, you get this kind of ugly feeling inside. That's the Holy Ghost getting stirred up, making you understand this is just plain wrong. This is bringing death, not life. We need to be grateful to God that we can feel bad sometimes, that he points out our hidden sins, our secret faults, so we can repent and get clean again. He is faithful to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, restore us when we confess our sins. So let's go on reading in Ephesians. We're in chapter 3. This is verse 8.
Which says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of the anointed one of God and the anointing itself. The anointing inside each of us. It's unsearchable riches. The Amplified puts it this way, the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ. The anointing in us, it's full, and it never becomes anything other than full. Mm. When we release it, when the Holy Spirit is poured out from inside us, Jesus is right there filling us up again. As it goes, it comes. He doesn't wait until we're empty or nearly empty or even half full, but he begins pouring in as soon as we begin releasing. It never ends. It has no bounds, and you can't get to the bottom of it. You can't calculate how much there is, and it doesn't wear out, and it doesn't grow weary. Hallelujah.
Wow. That's amazing. But it is so true. As soon as we start releasing, he starts filling us again. Wow. To flow out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You know, sometime back I got what to me was a powerful revelation. It's really simple. Maybe not exactly new. But I'd never considered it in quite this way before. I talk a lot about identity and how valuable it is that we truly understand who we are in Christ and that we understand the marvelous love that we were created to express. And it's absolutely true. The devil wants to tear down our identity and give us a false identity of shame and guilt and rejection and abandonment and so on and so on, self-hatred. And yeah, I mean, he wants to tear it down. He is after our identity. Satan wants to steal who we are in Christ. He is after who we are in Christ. Many of you have heard that over and over throughout the years, but here's the thing. While the devil is after, he may be after who we are in Christ, but he's more interested and more after who Christ is in us. Let me repeat that. Because there is a difference. It is valuable that we understand who we are in Christ, the love we were created to express. And it is true that the devil wants to steal that. He wants to steal that identity, tear it down, give us a false identity. He's after who we are in Christ, but he is more after who Christ is in us. Let me explain. Knowing who I am in Christ, my true identity, knowing who I am in Christ, will give me a foundation for my life that defies the devil's plan for me. That's good to have. But knowing who Christ is in me will defy Satan's plan for others. And that is far more dangerous to evil. If the enemy can effectively shut down or cause to never come forth the anointing that God put within us, then he succeeds in stealing the Christ in us. This is awesome revelation, really. Hope you're getting it. If we never gain the ability to release God's anointing, then we can never heal the sick, raise the dead. We can't cleanse the lepers. We won't be able to cast out demons. If we don't gain the ability to release God's anointing, we will never destroy sin, sickness, poverty, and death. If we allow Satan to take the Christ in us by instilling doubt and unbelief, he is after the Christ in us, the anointing, the heart belief that puts a demand on heaven, that taps into the anointing of God, that allows us to turn our focus from inward and backward to upward and outward. It has to be there. If you keep reading in Ephesians 3, you get down to this in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The anointing is by faith. We all have it. We have it in fullness, but faith has to release it.
Amen. So go on down to verse 20 in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Okay.
Paul relates the power that works in us to the one who is able. It's his anointing that's in us. The anointing in us is waiting in anticipation. It's hovering, shaking, fluttering, waiting for the voice of God through our lips. It's waiting for direction and instruction from the Son of God or many sons of God according to the word and the will of Almighty God our Father. Sometimes it takes a corporate faith for a person to be healed. Sometimes we need to add our faith to the faith of others to activate the anointing and move it from waiting to doing. The anointing in us wants to do even more than we've imagined can be done. This could be the greater work spoken of in John. And we're going to read that, John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall he do also, and greater works then these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. I'm sure many of us have read that many times and has wondered, doing greater works than Jesus, we probably thought to ourselves, now, nah, come on, Jesus. You know?
What are you talking about? But this is it. This is the thing. His anointing in us. A corporate faith. Wow. You have to forgive me for the coughing. I swallowed the wrong way. The fullness of God in the earth. The glory of God seen in every quarter, the light shining in every dark place. Demons screaming in fear and pain as they flee. If you don't have, or maybe you've just lost touch with the heart belief to know you are anointed, then get it back. Get it back. Begin today to practice the presence of God in you. Stop looking at what you can't do and what you don't have. And just simply bring to God what you do have and what you can do, and he will do the rest. You know, we talked earlier in this series about hindrances to releasing the anointing. Get rid of them. Just get rid of them. Amen.
Stop it. Maybe you're afraid, and maybe you're tired, maybe you're weak, maybe you're sick, or maybe you just don't believe. But for whatever reason you have withheld the anointing of God, it is not good enough.
Amen.
Ephesians 6:10 says to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's given us everything we need to accomplish everything. Thank you, Lord. He's told us to do. Here's the strength. Here's the power. We have all we need inside us, the anointing of God, to live as sons of God, not children, but fully mature sons. Sons of God who are equipped to handle the family business and bring heaven to earth. It's time for all of us to tap into the anointing of God and release it to make his strength my strength, to move from faith to his faith, from my faith to his faith, and my glory to his glory. Because you have an anointing, when you feel weak, you can truly say, I am strong. Your bank account may not show it, but you can say, I'm rich. Because of what the Lord has done, because of the anointing. And if you haven't already, I encourage you to believe God. Believe you have an anointing. Believe you can tap into it to draw from the glorious riches of your inheritance. Okay. Trust what God says and know that he is able and he is waiting to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think, according to the mighty power that works in us.
Thank you, Lord.
Come alongside others and add your anointing to put disease and infirmity and depression and pain and poverty and sin and death to flight before you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So make this declaration with me.
Let's do it out loud.
Out loud. Father God,
I declare,
I have an anointing from you.
I have an anointing from you.
You said so.
Said so.
And I believe it.
I believe it.
I admit to you, Lord,
that
I have not released your anointing.
Not released your anointing.
And that I've allowed the enemy of my soul
Wow, the enemy of my soul.
The enemy of good. To stop me. Through unbelief and fear.
Unbelief and fear.
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask the Lord to forgive me.
And I ask that the curse be broken.
I ask that the curse be broken.
Help me transition.
Help me transition, Father.
From my faith to your faith.
Your
faith that works through love and never fails.
That works through love and never fails.
Give me the courage to give up myself.
Give me the courage to give up myself.
And my ways.
And my ways.
For you and your ways.
For you and your ways.
Help me move from strength.
Help me move.
From my strength.
From my strength.
To your strength.
To your strength.
And to stop working so hard.
And to stop working so hard.
To accomplish things in my strength.
To accomplish things in my strength.
For it is only when I know.
It is only when I know.
That when I'm weak.
And when I am weak.
I am strong in you.
I am strong in you.
Show me how to put down my own glory.
Show me, Lord, how to put down my own glory.
And carry your glory.
And carry your glory.
And exhibit your glory.
And exhibit.
Without taking credit for it.
Without taking credit.
Without exalting myself.
Without exalting myself.
And talking about myself.
About myself.
Have every testimony of my mouth.
Have every testimony of my mouth.
Be a praise to you.
Be a praise to you.
And to you alone.
And you alone.
Don't let me get caught up in me, Lord.
Don't let me get caught up in me, Lord.
And help me know deep in my heart.
Help me know deep in my heart.
That it's not about me.
It's not about me.
It's about you.
It's about you.
It's about the appearing of Christ in his people.
It's about the appearing of Christ in his people.
It's about demonstrating Jesus.
It's about demonstrating Jesus.
Not just talking about him.
Not talking about him.
I want to do the greater works, Lord.
Yes, I do. I want to do the greater works, Lord.
And I know I can only do them.
I know I can only do them
by getting out of myself.
By getting out of myself.
Change my focus, Lord.
Change my focus, Lord.
From inward and backward.
From inward and backward.
To upward and outward.
To upward and outward.
Help me to live the anointed life.
Help me live the anointed life.
That you intended for me.
That you intended for me.
As a part of your corporate body.
As part of your corporate body.
Feeling and expressing your love.
Feeling and expressing your love.
Hearing your voice.
Hearing.
And responding rightly.
And responding rightly.
To your direction.
To your direction.
To accomplish your purposes.
To accomplish your purposes.
And complete your plan.
And complete. Your plan
of restoration of all things.
Of restoration of all things.
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am, Lord.
Send me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Also, go ahead and say this. I break agreement now. With every unclean spirit of unbelief.
Every unclean spirit of unbelief.
And fear.
Fear
of man. Fear of looking foolish.
Foolish.
Fear that it won't work.
Fear that it won't work.
Fear that God is not faithful. I break agreement with these fears. And every spirit of distrust of God,
every spirit of distrust of God,
and unbelief in the anointing in me,
unbelief in the anointing in me,
Forgive me, Lord, for participating with any of these spirits. And free me now. Okay, I take the sword of the Spirit of God. And I sever any generational cords of iniquity or evil soul ties that have held any of that in place in your lives. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And I cast out all unbelief, all distrust of God, all fear, fear of man, fear of looking foolish, fear that it won't work, fear that God's not faithful, fear of fear, any fear, fear that has prevented any one of you from releasing the anointing. I cast those fears and all that unbelief, distrust, and doubt into the pit that burning coals fall on them. They cannot rise again in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up, get out, and go. Loose these people and leave them now. And Father, I thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you continue to show each and every person any time in their lives, any circumstances, any people, any words that were spoken over them that would be attached or cause a root of this hindrance of releasing the anointing, that you will show each and every one of us that we can bring every one of those circumstances before you and be healed and get and forgive the people who were used to bring the doubt. Forgive them, release them into your hand, and begin in a greater measure to release your anointing. Fill us up, Father God. Fill us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet with your purity and your power. Fill us with your passion to bring judgment on evil spirits, justice to people. Thank you, Lord God. Fill us with your freedom and a revelation of who we are in you and who you are in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. If you have a comment or a question, you can push the star 6 keys on your telephone keypad. If you would like to have the playback number and access codes, they're all different, for each of these in the series, each of these messages in the series, you can text me at 904-993-2876. I will have those numbers together tomorrow afternoon, and I will be able to send them all to you. Then you can listen at your convenience for up to a year from the date it was first presented. This took 7 weeks, so part one, you've got about 10 months. Comments, questions?
Oh.
Star.
Hi, this is
six.
Oh, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Great teaching, like always, and very powerful.
Thank you.
When you command the demons to fly, they fly. Anyway,
amen.
I meant to call you. Yeah. I appreciated what you said about the feet tonight, because many years ago, all my friends were talking about the part of the body they were, and they were all hands and mouth. So I said, God, tell me what I am. And he said, you're a foot in the body. And I said, oh. But then as these years have gone by, has he taught me just beautiful things, and I am so glad to be a foot in the body.
Amen.
So anyway, thank
Hallelujah.
You for your teaching tonight. Yeah. Okay. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Helen, and thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love to stomp, tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. There's
who
this
else?
Is Annette. Mm-hmm. It's Annette. I don't know if I didn't hear it right or ran over it. And I don't remember all of it, but there's a part in there where it was like, it was basically when you made that, you started laughing. It was like being like, I don't know, being like Jesus or something like that. And you made a comment, ha ha, you know, of course we're not Jesus. Somewhere along that line, whatever you were speaking about, I didn't finally get wrapped around that well.
Well, what I think that what we were saying there is that we tend to think that way. Most people in the body of Christ have a tendency to say some form of this phrase, well, I know Jesus did it, but I'm not Jesus. You know,
okay.
We all have a tendency to fall back on that I'm only human stuff.
Right.
So that was the point that we were trying to make there is, yeah, we all have done it at one point or another. But the truth is that we were created exactly in God's image, and that nature is still in us. And when we rise to the level of our intended creation,
mm-hmm.
no force on earth or in hell or anywhere else is going to stop the anointing of God from within us.
Amen. Okay. I got you. I know. I got something. I was like, okay, that's something. I got mixed up there is what it is. Okay. All right. That's it. That was it. And that's what
okay.
I think the missing link. My missing link. All right. Thanks for you did a great job. Always. You always.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Anybody else got something to say tonight? Star 6. Again, unmute your phone. It also mutes you back out again. But it doesn't take you off the line.
Thank you, Pastor Vicki, Pastor Bill. Thank y'all for breaking it all down so we can understand everything. Thank you for all the love. Appreciate it. Keeping that devil under our feet. Helping us understand what we need to know.
Amen. Thank you, Mitch. God bless you, brother.
Fun. Thank you. Thanks for the bread. It was delicious.
Woohoo! 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 Hot and fresh.
Thanks. As always, the second time's better for me.
Well, you know, we always get something different. We get a little bit deeper somehow. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Good night.
You're welcome,
God
Claudia.
Bless.
God bless you.
God bless
okay.
you.
Bye-bye. All right. Pastor Phil, anybody else? Before our priest blesses us with the benediction, releases us into God's plan. Ah, thank you.
Very powerful. It was great. And, yeah, I'll be texting you to get the rest of the playbacks because I know I need to go through them and, you know, do some note-taking because such profound recognition, and I'm just very thankful. Thank you so much.
Oh, God bless you, Queen. Thanks for being here. Thank you for being here. And yes, it does. Yes, Friday night, date night with the Lord.
Sure is.
And for those who have not experienced or have not called in on a playback line, it does make a difference. The more you listen, the deeper it goes, and the more you get some little something every time that you didn't have before. Because the Holy Spirit, you don't just get Phil's words and my words. You get word from God as He opens your heart and that understanding. I know many times in church, I'm a note taker, and many times, you know, the pastor will say something, and then I will hear a revelation from God that He did not speak, and I'll put that in my notes with a little HS beside it. You know, like, that came from the Holy Spirit. And it's really very powerful. The more you listen, and the anointing is on the recordings, whether you're listening on a Spotify or Anchor Podcast or the playback number, the anointing is still there. It doesn't go away. So, anybody else got something to say before Phil blesses us?
Hey, Gretchen. I'm reminded of Moses when he ordained the 70 elders, and how the anointing was multiplied. And I just kept seeing that over and over. And just wanted to thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You are welcome. Impartation. All righty then.
Impart the blessing.
Impart the blessing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Seal it in our hearts, deep in our hearts, my Father.
Oh, yes.
We thank you for it. Thank you for all your wisdom and all that you're doing in our lives to help us to walk in our true identity. Lord, we are thankful. And we honor you tonight, this Shabbat. We honor you with all our hearts, minds, and our strength, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And with your permission, I will bless your people as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, with the Aaronic, called the Aaronic benediction, first in Hebrew and then in English. Yivarechach Adonai. Ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Yifunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Ve'yosem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for your goodness and your presence and your strength. Thank you as you're filling us now afresh with your Holy Spirit anointing as we speak. And I just loose the Holy Spirit and I loose the peace of God amongst our people to know and feel the tangible presence of your God who has anointed you and empowered you to do exploits, to do mighty works in his name, to work miracles, and to bring salvation, healing, deliverance, and peace to his people. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We give you honor and glory. We ask again that you seal this in our hearts, that you encamp your angels around us, protect us this weekend, and give us a God-filled, glorious weekend in you with tangible evidence of your anointing in all that we say and do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen, and Shabbat Shalom.
Amen.
Shabbat Shalom. God bless you all. Have a great weekend. We'll be here Monday morning at 7:15 Monday night with a fresh message or a fresh series or whatever the Holy Spirit wants to bring. I can't wait to hear what I have to say. Bye now.
Bye. God bless.
Woo-hoo.
Good night.
Woo-hoo.
Good night, brother.